you're continuing to join our journey as Power Business, of course, as we look into the world of business. And to pick up the next conversation, of course, we're following up on a recent release coming out of the Altron FinTech Household Financial Resilience Index, AFHRI, which is simply showing signs of improvement coming out of households, particularly from a salaries point of view, as well as household expenditure. And so to unpack, of course, all of the detail in this, we're in this particular report, we are joined by Dr. Roelof Botha, who is an economist and also an author of the index itself. Good evening, Dr. Botha.
Good evening.
Just to get everyone on board about this FinTech Household Financial Resilience Index, what is it? I understand it tracks about 20 different indicators, but, you know, elevator pitch, what is the index all about?
Yes, Altron FinTech, which applies sophisticated software for the regulated microfinance industry. Not the loan sharks, the regulated ones, the ones that provide credit to, especially to many very small businesses that cannot get access to loans from big banks. They obviously have a desire to know what's happening in that space. Are households, is the median household in a position to actually incur debt, and are they able to service that debt? So they commissioned this research. I'm also assisted by an economist from the Optimum Financial Services Group, because we also track this type of information. And we've identified 18 indicators which have a bearing on income and 2 on assets, because an asset, like an extra house, can generate extra income like rental, or if you have an asset like a unit trust investment, then you can, as it it increases in value through dividends, etc., you can cash in a little bit on that. And these 20 indicators, as you've rightly pointed out, are weighted then to composite index. And the net result, we weight that in terms of its importance to the Altron FinTech business model. And it gives you a very good idea of what's happening in the economy. And it is, to some extent correlated to the GDP, but not entirely.
Does it really give us a true sense of what's happening in the economy, given what we're seeing, all of the other trends in terms of unemployment, trending down, etc.? Is this reflective of the true South African household?
Well, of the median household, certainly. Yeah. The interesting thing, obviously, from a policy perspective, and I'm convinced that if people want the detail of these 20 indicators, how they each one of them has been performing, not only year on year, but also compared to pre-COVID, fourth quarter 2019, and also since the inception date, the base period, first quarter 2014, that could be pretty useful information to many businesses, especially in retail, especially in the financial services sector. Sure. Because some of these indicators will indicate if your income is more asset-based, then you've been doing very well, and the index reflects that. Mm. But if your income is based on employment in the private sector and salaries in the private sector, you still haven't fully recovered the median household from pre-COVID, which obviously raises a question mark over the Reserve Bank's decision to raise interest rates. It is, as far as I'm concerned, not a very bright a decision, and I'm trying to be diplomatic here.
And I mean, again, I think just to get everyone on board, you know, when we look at the Altron FinTech Short-Term Credit Impact Index, what came out of that is that we're seeing an uptick in terms of credit uptake. But what's coming out of this index, which is the Altron FinTech Household Financial Resilience Index, is that in fact, household debt to household income is reducing. Is that meaning that household income is growing at a faster rate than the rate of household debt?
Yes, especially during since COVID, because I think a lot of people, we're talking obviously about a median household, which or an average household, and it's a tricky concept, of course. If one starts averaging, it's been said that a statistician will tell you that if your feet are in the oven and your head is in the freezer, on average you are quite comfortable, and that's absolutely not true. But it's certainly what has happened is that many people, because they were fearful of losing their jobs or their business, or even because in April 2020, if we go back 2 years from now, I think most every listener will remember it was a horrible period. We didn't know what was going to happen next. I went for a run outside my gate and I was almost arrested. It was terrible. And a lot of people cashed in on their savings and even their annuities to the extent that they could draw down on that. And that has obviously kept some of the higher income groups more than afloat. But for lower income groups, It's been tough, and that's why it's important for lower income groups to actually have access to loans, which are at reasonable interest rates. The regulated sector, I think, plays its part, but there is certainly space here for government to assist this industry. It is held in high esteem in most developing countries, especially Bangladesh, which was on the news now for the wrong reasons, and of course in India. Yeah. There are 2 billion with a B adults in the world that have no access whatsoever to a financial institution. Mm. That's 40% of the world's adult population. So it's a crucial industry. I mean, without credit, there wouldn't be an economy. Bartering a sheep for a bag of maize meal.
Sure. From your research, what are you seeing as I guess I'd call it the interest rate range that is still developmental? Because a lot of the time, people look at debt as something that sometimes can slow them down as a household, etc. But there is a component of debt that can still contribute to developmental outcomes. What is that interest rate that at least government should be targeting for these particular households?
Well, there's been a lot of talk about a state bank. Not that I necessarily, most economists would find that very unpalatable. But the fact of the matter is that government has a bit of money to play with. If you just think about their ability to reduce the fuel levy, that was significant. That's costing them 6 billion rand over 2 months. Mm. Now, with that kind of money, they could certainly subsidize the interest rate on micro loans for approved credit providers, the regulated sector. It would not be difficult to do.
To what rate?
I'm an economist. I'm not intimately part of the lending industry itself, but obviously for the micro lenders, it is prime plus a certain number of percentage points. Mm. So if government through a modest or a marginal subsidy could just bring that margin that they pay more than the prime overdraft rate down a little bit, it could have an explosive impact, because many small businesses use these microloans for working capital.
Mm. And we're seeing household consumption expenditure coming out as a top performer in terms of this quarter out of this index. So are people using those borrowings for businesses, or is it consumption driven?
Well, in fact, in our index, over 2 years, consumption expenditure has actually declined by 3%. It, year on year, it's picked up a little bit, by 1.7%. But when you consider that this is the fourth quarter, and the fourth quarter of 2020 was not a good quarter, that was still the first year of COVID, then actually household consumption expenditure is not... It's not doing what we wanted to do, but we have to work with Stats SA data, and I can guarantee you now that Stats SA underestimates the consumption expenditure in the informal sector in this country.
Sure. And we will hold that conversation there, Dr. Porter, and thank you very much for helping us understand the latest results coming out of the Altron FinTech Household Financial Resilience Index. And that was Dr. Roelof Botha. He's an economist and author of the index, helping us understand the Q4 numbers coming out of that particular index.
Power traffic.
Thanks, Fiso, and a very good evening. Taking you to Boksburg on the N12 eastbound, where there's an accident. It seems that a truck has lost its load on the roadway, currently causing some unusual heavy traffic on the N12 eastbound. Please do proceed with caution. It's close to the Atlas Road exit. Bedford View on the N3 northbound, on that link to the N12 east at the Galulis interchange, anticipate a stationary truck that's currently causing queuing traffic. the Vreeden Park, there's stationary vehicle on the N1 southbound ahead of the 14th Avenue exit, causing slow-moving traffic. Rampark Ridge on Bears Nordea Drive heading westbound, anticipate slow-moving traffic at Jim Fashier Road due to faulty traffic lights. Areas that are currently being load shed where you can anticipate traffic lights to be out of order or not to function this evening include Rosebank, Dunkeld, Hyde Park, Parktown and Parkwood up until 8:30 this evening. Other areas where lights are out in Bryanston at William Nicol and Ballyclare, Sandton at Marlborough and the M1, out in Cresta at Bears Nordea and Judges, Honeydew at Christian De Wit and Paul Kruger. For Power Traffic, I am Refilwe Matsela.
Power Traffic.
Power Drive with Thabiso Kotane.
Story about the chap who was running his own Home Affairs office. Minister, as I said, is joining us. Dr. Mtswaledi, you were at the OR Tambo International Airport.
Once more, we've arrested a member of another syndicate. This time, it's not Pakistan, it's Bangladesh. There's a Bangladesh kingpin who organizes people in Bangladesh who don't have documents to come to South Africa. The requisite visas or documents. This syndicate also, unfortunately, involved airlines because they are allowing these people to come in without any documents.
Power Drive, weekdays 3 to 6 p.m. on Power 98.7.
Can I get an account that offers comprehensive solutions for my business? With Absa, I can. Absa Business Evolve accounts have flexible solutions for businesses of all sizes and product options that I can.